Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From our top secret, highly secure headquarters in the heart of South Texas, this is the Thanksgiving week edition of the Spurs Insider. I am Mike Finger, joined by beat writers Jeff McDonald, Tom Orsborn, and sports editor of the Express News, Nick Talbot. We are talking about a team of local Cagers who, at the time of this recording, are 6-12 on the season, winning 33.333% of their games, about what we expected. But I guess, Jeff McDonald, they've come around. The water has found its level. The mean has been regressed to. Is there anything else you want to add to what's going on?
You said they're 6-12 right now. That's the record.
6-12.
Weren't they just 5-2 like a couple days ago?
So do some quick math. What does that mean in the interim?
It's too early to be doing quick math.
They've lost 1-10.
They've lost 10 of their last 11.
10 of their last 11 games. The
Carry
local
the
Cagers.
Four
what in the world is going on with this team? Or is it exactly what everyone thought would happen?
Well, it's not. Well, it is. It is. It is what everybody thought would happen. But we were talking about this the other day. They've been competitive when they've played everyone. Like their five starters, when those five guys are all playing, they have the 5-2 start. They're competitive with teams in losses. You just take one guy away, which they have been want to do on occasion.
I want to take you back to an early season Spurs
Insider
podcast.
Can I finish?
Fine. Okay.
Go ahead. It's fine.
Go ahead.
Fine. No, the train's left the tracks. You've derailed everything already. Where do we... 1 minute and 47 seconds in, you've already derailed everything.
Well,
go ahead.
I derailed it.
Everyone wants to hear what you have to say, so go ahead.
I derailed it by bringing up something that you said in an early season Spurs Insider podcast, which may or may not have been on video, when we were talking about what it takes to tank. And this team isn't tanking. We're on video, so quotes. This team isn't tanking. But... I think there was a discussion on this podcast about whether or not your Spurs have what it takes, like other teams have what it takes, to just sit a guy for a while, sit a good player, keep guys out to ensure that you're losing games. And all of the players who've been sitting for the Spurs over the past few weeks have had something wrong with them. But it's been, to me, it's been sort of a wink, wink, nod, nod. Keldon Johnson can't play tonight because of a sore knee. Devin Vassell can't play the next night. Jakob Poeltl can't play the next night. And Jakob's just missed one game, I believe. He was the last one to have played in every game. But I think what we found out over the past few weeks about our local Cagers is they do have the commitment, I think, that it might take to get into the race for Mr. Victor Wembanyama.
I agree.
And they've been assisted by legitimate...
Yes,
legitimate injuries to Zach.
Oh, yes, yes,
Zach
yes.
Collins, Langford, health and safety protocols, and young Blake Wesley.
And this is not to say that
the
injuries to Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell and Jakob Poeltl are not legitimate.
Right.
But those are the types of rest games that players get when,
absolutely,
let's just say the top priority of this season is not necessarily making the playoffs.
Right.
And so... I think to Jeff's point, like they've been competitive in games when everybody's playing.
It just takes one though.
Right.
It just takes, remove one.
One of who?
Anyone
really. You take away Devin or even if you take away Trey Jones, they're not very good because they don't have a point guard.
That's true. There might be four.
Yeah. I was going to say
three.
Yeah. Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell or Jakob Poeltl, but that is true. They have to start Jeremy Sochan at point guard when Trey Jones is out.
And he struggles. Like Jeremy Sochan, we could talk about him. He's been one of the bright spots. Every time we were talking the other day at the crypto.com arena about...
They still call it that, huh?
They do.
Wow.
That might have been a mistake.
Yeah.
Although I guess the check's still cash. Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe they don't.
Did they get paid in cryptocurrency? That would be problematic.
We were saying that when Jeremy Sohan's on the floor and he had looked down and at one point he had 2-3-2 or something, yeah. But he'd been everywhere.
Yeah.
Against, I think that was the Clipper night. He's going to fit. He's going to make it, I think. It's early, but I think it's safe to say that they're happy with that pick. But it's a lot to ask that guy who'd never even started at his natural position much at all in college. Like, he was a bench player. Now you're asking him to start at point guard, which is not his natural position. It's a lot.
Right. But it's also like, in a season like this, why not? Let's try it out. Let's give him a shot. Let's let him play, you know, let him do it. And that might end up being his position in the long term, you know, years from now. He might be that point forward kind of type that's bringing the ball up the floor and running things. So
sure,
why not? I mean, and you have no one else when Trey Jones is out with, what was it? An illness, some kind of illness?
Tom.
Yeah, it was an illness in Golden State.
Stomach illness or something?
Yeah. In San Francisco, he was out with an illness, and Sohan started at point.
Yeah,
point
so,
guard.
So, you know, you have no other options beyond him, really. So why not give him a shot?
Since we broached the subject of illness, we might as well get into, and the problem with the podcast is this could be, by the time you're listening or viewing this, you might know much more than we know right now, but.
This is a Tuesday morning.
Yes.
The Spurs have not even practiced yet since getting back from Los Angeles.
Yes. But Sunday night, there was quite a bit of fretful anxiousness across Spurs Nation.
And the media corps.
And the media corps, and basically everyone who knows who Greg Popovich is. When he did not, after an evening in which he was his typical, and this is not sarcastic, his typical delightful self in Los Angeles. Like, if you ever want to see Greg Popovich at his delightful best, go to a pregame media availability, and they'll just let you in at the crypto.com arena in Los Angeles.
They actually might just let you in there.
They might. He was great and, you know, reflective, making jokes, all kinds of stuff. Did not seem to be in poor health at all. 90 minutes before the game is when he does that. And as assistant coach Brett Brown, his good buddy for a quarter century, had described to us later, the coaches are walking out to the floor 20 seconds before the game starts, and Brett turns around and Pop isn't there. And it turns out that for an hour or so, we had no idea why he was not there because Spurs were not commenting. Finally, towards the end of the second quarter, they said it was an undisclosed illness. And as of after the game, he didn't say much more than that. But he never left the arena. Brett Brown said the doctor said he was deemed okay, and he was. Jeff saw him walk into the bus with the team, so he seemed to be fine, right?
He seemed to be fine as far as walking to the bus with the team, yeah.
But in terms of getting real specific on this podcast as to what happened, all we can really say is an undisclosed illness there, and we presume that's not a great journalistic thing to presume, but if we're guessing, we might see him on Wednesday.
I'm not going to presume that. I don't know.
I shouldn't have.
We probably would. I mean, in an hour they'll practice and that will tell us something. Right. A little more clues, but I don't presume anything.
Yeah.
We don't know because we don't know. We don't know what it was. We don't know what has happened since. So
Spurs, an infamously secretive organization that's worked for them for many, many, many years, but times like this, it can be frustrating just from the public standpoint of not knowing exactly what's going on. And maybe we will eventually.
Speaking to his general health, you know, on the road trip I was on, the leg of San Francisco, Portland, and Sacramento, he was out and about, him and Brett, taking long walks during the day.
Were you hiding behind a tree, like watching?
taking long walks.
I was, they skipped the bus back from San Francisco back to their hotel around Union Square. That's a pretty good hike.
Uh-huh.
Because I made it myself,
uh-huh.
And they went on that one.
Did y'all stop at any little cafes, you, Brett, and Pop?
I stopped. I was trying to find a San Francisco Chronicle. It's about a 50-minute walk.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going
it's hard
down,
to find a newspaper
going
these
going
days.
Down 3rd Street, and I stopped at – I've had good luck finding newspapers at liquor stores in Los Angeles.
So you did on Skid Row in Los Angeles?
I thought I'd try it again. I popped in the liquor store and a couple of convenience stores. I go into one liquor store and ask the guy, you got any papers, newspapers?
I need a bottle of Old Granddad and some he goes, Times.
He goes, newspapers, they don't exist anymore.
That's great.
Well, there's some breaking news
no,
for the podcast.
You can tell him is, it was very discouraging. You know where you could have found a San Francisco Chronicle? On your telephone.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yes.
And you know where you can find the San Antonio Express News.
Oh, yeah, we haven't been doing this lately.
For our viewers, they constantly see the Express News logo in our shop.
Yes, but they need to know all about the lose letter.
The what letter?
The lose letter.
Because the team is tanking.
Yeah, they should change the name to the Spurs lose letter.
I'm not sure that would be a great marketing move.
Okay.
Probably not. I'm not for the Spurs to sell tickets or for us to sell newsletters.
Well, I don't care about the Spurs selling tickets.
I'm just saying they're sort of intertwined. You want interest in the local Cagers, correct?
I don't care.
Isn't that okay? Well,
at any rate, he takes care of himself as we well know. He's always in the
Brett Brown,
Bob,
and Greg Popovich.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you know, who knows what the illness was, but.
So from that story about Greg Popovich and his health, we got to Tom Orsborn walking into a liquor store.
Yeah.
And being told that newspapers no longer exist.
No longer exist.
But they do exist. The liquor store guy is wrong. Newspapers do exist. We have subscriptions available. You can go to expressnews.com, sign up for the Express Spurs newsletter or newsletter. You get everything into your inbox every week. Good job, Jeff and Tom.
What a segue.
For getting that out there.
That segue was so great, Boris Diaw might write it to practice.
That's and then here's your weekly Jeff McDonald dad joke, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get that sponsored. So the Spurs are not a 5-2 team. They're probably not a 1-10 team.
Yeah, that's partially the schedule on them too. I mean, in the one win there, they beat Milwaukee because Milwaukee sat everybody.
Right.
But the teams they're losing to are all like teams that are probably going to be in the playoffs. They should play some teams that are not in the playoffs.
Other than maybe the Lakers.
Yeah,
other than the Lakers.
The Lakers are not going to be in the playoffs.
Other than the Lakers.
What were your impressions of your – Jeff and Tom split this last week-long West Coast swing. What were the impressions that you had from your part of it?
Well, Golden State was – they were going to win that game no matter what. They were taking a lot of heat for their atrocious road record. So they're playing at home and – Jordan Poole had a great game. Sohan is at the point, just struggling, you know. Not that he won't round into shape eventually, but he really struggled that game. And Keldon was out, I believe, that game. And then Portland, that was their best chance to win it.
Was that the game they had all five guys, their all five starters start?
Yeah. And then in the last 4 minutes, Keldon has 3 turnovers. That just killed them. So they lose that one. Close game. Sacramento, they hung tough until late in the fourth quarter. Kings, as Pop pointed out, we know they have offensive firepower, but their defense was great that game. The two guards, Fox and Monk, just took over
the
on both ends.
The bright spot of that stretch, and it continued into the Clippers game the other night, was the play of Jakob Poeltl, who,
Portland. He had a career high 31 points.
I think the last 6 games he played, that was his highest 6 game stretch of scoring of his career. He made a big step last year. He's made another one. They're kind of, Jeff, you can speak to this, but they're running the offense through him.
Kind of, yeah.
McDermott pointed out, through they're running everything through Jakob Poeltl at the elbow, which is not typical 2022 NBA offense. But that's what they're doing.
That's correct. And Jakob's doing it well.
The highlight of
he's getting way more and this has kind of progressed over his time in San Antonio, but getting way more aggressive and looking for his own offense when it comes. And part of that's a function, like he was telling us the other night, you know, it's a function of him just being here a long time, and now he is one of those options. Like last year they're gonna go through DeJounte Murray and Derek White and you know, he's like, I would be kind of an idiot to try to take over in those kind of games when those are our main scores. But this year they don't really have that. So he's just kind of felt his oats a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, I think he's doubled his assist rate too this year too, just by having luxury of running that offense through him as well. It's like 1.7 to 3.3 or something like that, around those numbers.
Yeah.
He's been good at everything, and that
we're going to miss him when he's gone.
That could mean that he might not be a Spur. Like, that's, we'll probably have many other podcasts to venture into this more deeply as the trade deadline gets here. But he acknowledged to us the other night at Crypto.com Arena that he is aware that he is having a career year in the last year of his contract for a team that's lost 10 of 11. You add those three things together, and that that sort of screams, do the math.
Yeah, it screams.
Carry the one.
It screams trade candidate, right? And they might not do it. There's a possibility out there that the Spurs just like having him around, which they do, well, and decide that they're going to pay him more than anybody else when he becomes a free agent next year. It could be argued that, like, he fits better with the Spurs than he fits with anybody.
If they lose him, they're not going to be able to replace him. Like, you're not going to be able to sign a center to be part of your. But if you draft Wimby, that kind of fixes
that. Victor Wembanyama, you have a decent center there.
Yeah.
The question is, and this, there's a lot of complicated salary cap minutia.
More math.
Yeah, but we're not going to make you do it. Do you? If someone, Boston Celtics, somebody like that, says, we have a couple of draft picks, a first rounder, something else, and we'll take Jakob off your hands for 3 months, and then you can sign him next summer again if you want. That could happen.
You're gambling on re-signing him, though.
Right. Right. It'll be complicated.
Yeah.
But it's, during a season such as this, it's kind of a good problem to have.
Sure.
Jakob is playing well enough to where he might even make you second guess whether or not you want to get rid of him. Like, it's better than him playing terribly.
I mean, you either have to trade him for a first round pick or pay him.
Right.
And, oh, the good part is they'll probably have multiple offers for him, and then they can weigh it. And then if the offers are low first rounders or second rounders, they can pass and try to sign him. Yeah. If they get something good, two first rounders, you probably trade him. Yes. Yeah. That's where you're at.
We'll see. He's become a really big part of what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And
Pop said that the first day of training camp.
I know.
The foundation. He does for us what Tim Duncan used to do.
It's crazy.
I mean, I think you get more than just one first rounder for Tim Duncan.
I think you're right.
Well, maybe not now. He's pretty old.
That's true. No, but like fans, people in general tend to downplay that whole leader of the team stuff, but like, it's significant to what the Spurs do, and they're not gonna cast him aside willy nilly.
Yeah, I believe. And the thing is, I mean, what am I trying to say here? You need some sort of organization, like things to be organized, like as you're trying to train these young kids.
You want organized organization?
Yes, okay. On the floor, like you just can't. It's tough if you want to get rid of all your veterans, the people like Jakob, we just said they're running the whole offense through him. Mm-hmm. You get rid of him for the end of the season. What do those other, like, what do the other kids learn? The people you're trying to grow and teach and develop.
I would agree.
What do they learn if everything's chaos out there?
You make them hang out with Gorgie Dang.
Yeah, that would be the.
Yeah, that's something. That
I'm just talking on the floor. Like, how do you play basketball when it's chaos? That's not how you're going to, you want them to play next year. So you need those kind of glue guys that are going to keep things sort of together. So that's just things you weigh.
All of these conversations are awkward in a year when, as we get closer and closer to the end of the season, people are going to be openly wanting to lose games on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily your Spurs, but a lot.
Well,
one thing that's happened with the NBA so far this season is all the teams that we thought were going to be really bad sort of won some games early, like the Spurs. Utah's still
doing it,
competing for a title.
They're in trouble.
Like, Will Hardy has completely screwed up that assignment.
They're digging their hole way too deep in the Wimby chase.
But you had Oklahoma City's won more than people thought that the Thunder would.
Houston's okay. They're doing it all right.
Houston's been where it should be. But I think that's sort of what Adam Silver wanted when he made that statement to teams early before the season started that we're not going to allow tanking. Well, if some of these teams start out like, hey, we're trying to win. The Spurs were 5-2. You know, the Thunder is still hanging around 500. Well, then when we get into March, April, and February, when it starts to go away, they can say, at least we tried. But anyway, it's awkward to have these conversations about, do you want chaos at the end of the year? Because maybe they do. We just don't know that yet. I don't know how productive that is.
Yeah.
It goes back to the question of tanking. Like, if you start losing on purpose, does that ingrain a sense of losing that you don't want? It's a legitimate question. What do you think, Tom?
I think I'm going to go back to that Sacramento game. Jeremy Sochan, to bring up a bright spot, probably the best play I've seen this year, individual play, the spin move to shake loose from Fox. Uh-huh. And then he threw down a dunk over Sabonis.
That was you said throw down. He threw down. It was a throw down more than it was a dunk. Like, would that have counted in a dunk contest?
Yeah.
He was feet above the rim. He threw it down.
The whole point of the play, though, was the spin move to get away from Fox. That was incredible.
It was.
Something to look forward to with that young man.
And I think that those are the kind of moments that you build around during a season like that. Not that you build around a moment, but that's where you find your encouragement in a season like this. Just that, hey, this guy can be something.
Watching him, you just get excited thinking, what can he do with a good team?
Yeah.
It's a reason to be excited about this guy. He's the future.
He's the type of player who will be, and like probably a lot of players are, but he definitely is the type of player who whose value will go up when he's on a good team, like you said.
Yeah.
Where he's not expected just to put up a bunch of empty numbers for
And it's also, he's 19 years old and has played 18 NBA games and one college season in which he started one game. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of, I mean, it's stop the presses, but there's a lot of room for improvement and growth there.
And not that you'd blame him playing point guard against Steph Curry, but that's pretty much the only time he's looked overwhelmed in any sense. Every other game, when he's playing where he expected to play, he's looked like he fits in.
Mm-hmm. Pretty well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been a couple of weeks since we did one of these, and in the interim, Tom, the store that you were all over from the beginning came to probably not the conclusion, but a significant development on what happened to Josh Primo. If we want to rehash that real quick.
That whole story was an abrupt beginning and an abrupt ending. Mm-hmm. But the settlement in the Hillary Cawthon lawsuit against Josh Primo and the Spurs, you could see it coming. The day before, I had talked to a law professor at St. Mary's who said that there was no way they were going to win that in court. In the state of Texas, there were four thresholds they needed to meet, and two of them they just could not.
You're talking about there's no way the Spurs were going to win that?
No, that Hillary Cawthon would have won it. So you could see the settlement coming. You know, the thing that struck me as curious or, you know, another sign of lack of transparency from the Spurs was a statement that R.C. Buford put out after the settlement was announced, saying that they were going to collaborate with Dr. Cawthon and other experts in an effort to review and improve our workplace processes and procedures. I think Spurs kind of owe it to be a little bit more specific in what exactly that means.
Yep.
Maybe they will once they figure it out.
Yeah.
That sort of is the remaining question. I'm not sure it ever will get answered because I'm not sure if Tony Busby ever answered your question about the NDA, but there's almost certainly a non-disclosure agreement for everyone involved in a settlement like this, where parties on all three sides are not going to be allowed to discuss specifics. But as Tom says, it's a worthwhile question that I think a lot of fans, that people just who watch the Spurs would like to know. How do you go from we disagree with the details that Hillary Cawthon described and that anyone who's watched the Spurs over the years knows that we take this seriously to we need to fix some stuff. Like, what is what's the through line there that I mean, basically, what do they need to fix?
Yeah.
That's the question. Yeah. If you can't say we got everything right and then say we need to fix some things. Like there's a disconnect there. And at some point, maybe that will be addressed.
The next day,
Might be a while.
I asked Pop about his confidence in Brian Wright, who was mentioned prominently in the lawsuit for not taking quick and effective steps to put an end to Josh Primo's alleged behavior and to support Dr. Cawthon in her claims. And Pop said he has total confidence in Brian Wright. Went on to describe him, in very high terms.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Like I said, that might not have been the end, but it was sort of the end of a chapter. And I'm not sure where that story will lead in the future, but I have a feeling we'll be kind of in a holding pattern for the foreseeable future. As for the on the court product, they lost 10 of 11. Is that going to continue, or are there some opportunities forthcoming?
Are they going to lose 10 of their next 11?
I guess that's
what you're asking me.
Yeah. 6 of 7 at home, beginning Wednesday against New Orleans.
A couple against the Lakers will help.
New Orleans, 2 against the Lakers, at Oklahoma City, Orleans again, Phoenix, and Houston.
There's a couple wins. There's Houston. There's going to be at least one win in there, possibly two.
I think that's a go out on a limb prediction.
Yeah. And maybe three. Maybe if they play people, maybe three.
They might win a third of their games, just like they have been doing. I guess, if you take it over the course of a season.
I think that over the course of a season, a third of the games is what, 27, 28, something like that. And that's about what we expected.
Mm-hmm.
And it might get worse if somebody like a Jakob Poeltl is traded. Might get better if you get some of the players that Tom mentioned earlier back from injury.
Or they trade for Kevin Durant?
Or they trade for Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook?
No, we should. That I'm just joking. That don't aggregate that.
That's the clip I'm putting.
You would something that before the Greg Popovich story kind of threw everything out the window. One of the questions we were asking in LA over the weekend was just how this team is weathering the misery of losing 10 out of 11.
And don't you know that winning and losing is all an illusion?
That's what Pop
it's
said.
It's all an illusion.
Winning this whole, and losing is illusion.
This whole existence is an illusion.
Uh-huh.
It's that Kipling quote along those lines.
I'm not sure, Tom.
I think you know. You've used it before.
Have I?
They're both imposters.
Oh, I think yeah.
Well,
I'm getting so old that I forget what
success and failure, both imposters.
Whoa. Well, Tom or Greg Popovich said winning and losing are illusions.
Yeah,
and,
very similar quote.
Very similar. Very similar idea. And I guess what he's trying to say there, only when he said that, it was only a few days before holiday in which we traditionally give thanks.
Oh, I see where this is going. Good gravy.
Is that gravy is a significant part of that holiday, at least in my household. Sometimes the gravy isn't the best. Sometimes it is the best, but it's all in the eyes.
Is it cornbread dressing in the finger household, or is it stovetop?
Well, 100% cornbread dressing.
It's just true tech, true South.
Yes. It reminds me of something my mom always told
ours
me.
Ours too.
Which is?
Gravy is all an illusion.
Well, she just didn't want to make it for you, I think. Anyway, winning and losing, it is an illusion because, you know, when just because you win a game doesn't mean that you've accomplished anything in your life or that you did what you set out to do. The other team might have just been terrible. And just because you lost the game doesn't mean you didn't accomplish anything. Sure. So this is all what Greg Popovich says. This is all what Rudyard Kipling might have said at some point.
Yes, he did.
This is all something that maybe Jeff's mother said at Thanksgiving, although I don't want to – that's uncomfortable me talking about – I don't know why Jeff brought up his mother on this podcast about basketball. But the point is whether or not you have gravy, it's an illusion. You can imagine you have gravy. You can imagine the gravy is good. You can imagine the gravy is bad.
This is not working.
I'm not getting there this week.
This is just the struggle bus right
this
here.
This is the turkey.
I'm not going to get there. But lest I be frustrated by Jeff McDonald terming this a loss, It's the fact that I'm struggling is an illusion.
This is the cranberry sauce. Here,
I'm going to consider that this was a victory, and until the next time, everybody be thankful for what you want to be thankful for. Take care of each other, and keep it real.
I'm thankful for this podcast.
You, Mr. Magoo,
your way. Mr. Magoo.